Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Joshua, chapter 3, and the 9th verse. The book of Joshua, chapter 3, and verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. The book of Joshua, chapter 3, and verse 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. The Lord in his great sovereignty and mercy had taken Moses, who had led the children of Israel through the wilderness home to glory, and he had wonderfully anointed Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And here we find in this sacred record left by the Holy Spirit how they were to enter into the land. And two things really I would firstly name. One is that Joshua was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. You see, Moses was sent to represent the law, but it was to be Joshua that was to take the children of Israel into the heavenly, into Canaan. The second thing was this. It was such a different land than what they'd been through. A beautiful, really, type of heaven. And the land was flowing with milk and honey. But there were many dangers and obstacles in the way. And then, of course, they got to go through the River Jordan. And that has often been likened unto the great day of death for the Lord's dear people. We have all got to go through Jordan to enter into the heavenly land above. There was no other way they could enter into Canaan but through Jordan. And the Lord wonderfully was to appear for them. And he gave to Joshua sweet commandment exactly how this would be so. And they were in Shittim 3 days, and there the Lord was to wonderfully appear to them and to instruct them what would take place. Now, as they journeyed through the wilderness, the Lord wonderfully gave them that cloudy, fiery pillar in the heavens, and as the cloud moved, they had to move. But now they'd not got this cloud. What were they to do? Well, the Lord told them through Joshua that the Ark of the Covenant, and that was really the wonderful sacred presence of the Lord going with them, that was to be carried by the Levites the priests of the Levites that bear it, and they were to go and enter into Jordan. And as they entered into it, into that great river, the Lord was to cause it, like he did at the Red Sea that we read of, to divide before them and stand as a great heap. Yeah, I've often said, and it's a wonderful thought really, and may we be given prayerful meditation upon it, like at the Red Sea. The Lord caused the sea to stand as a wall on the right hand and on the left, and so they could pass through on dry land. But here, as these priests of the Levites that bear the ark entered into the edge of Jordan, the Lord was to cause it to come into a heap, that great river. All that flowed down through was to stand. And this was a wonderful experience to them, there's no doubt, and many of us have many fears how we shall stand in the swellings of Jordan, in the great day of death. And they had many fears how they would enter into Canaan through Jordan, but the Lord was to make the way. And all the time, those priests that carried the ark were standing in Jordan, the children of Israel could pass through safely until they were all through, all landed. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he will take his dear, just as Joshua did here, he will take every one of his dear children safe into the heavenly Canaan. The waters will divide before them. It's a wonderful prospect really, wasn't it, to them here. And but there's just one or two further things before I look at the text. The first was, there got to be a space between, he says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You see, there got to be this space between. And really, you know, we need to consider it in this light. It was a holy, sacred ark, this was. The Lord was there. And they'd not got to rush, like man would do naturally, into the presence of the Lord or into Jordan. There got to be this space, for the Lord was to work, you see. The second thing was this. It was they'd never been this way before. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. You know, when we think, when we think of all those that are now landed in glory. But you see, what a prospect there was before them. But think of it concerning us. Ye have not walked this way heretofore. We've each got to walk it, but we've never walked it before. And may we lay this solemnly to heart, The hymn writer said, eternity, tremendous sound to guilty souls, a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accent, how divine. There was one other thing too that we would name, and that was they'd got to sanctify themselves. Sanctification is a wonderful thing. The Lord has a sanctified people. They were people that sanctification means really in its simplicity a people that set apart. They're not as the world were or are. And a people set apart. And this people, you see, that were to enter into Canaan's happy land were people that God had set apart. They were his children. And he was to cause them to enter into it. And they got to sanctify themselves and set themselves apart from all other and from the things of time and those things in the wilderness they had to pass through, and they got to enter into Canaan and to enjoy the fullness thereof. But in the verse previous to our text, he says this, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the waters of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. They've got to stand still. And there are times, you know, where the Lord does command his dear people to stand still. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, often when we're in trouble, in soul or maybe in providence, it's one of the hardest things to do is to stand still. Well, go back to the Red Sea. The Lord told them, didn't he, through Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And they had to stand still, though the enemies were pursuing them. And here, they got to stand still. They got to see the Lord work. And it may be in something you're in today, or in your heart or pathway, why the Lord seemed to lay this upon me. And ye shall stand still in Jordan. In whatever trouble it may be, affliction, trial, temptation, deep waters, stand still. I remember being in the depths of trouble many years ago, and the Lord dropped those words so sweetly into my heart. The strength of every tempted son consists in standing still. And it may be that's what you've got to do. Watch the hand of the Lord work, you see. And here, this is what these priests that bear the ark had to do. And the children of Israel had to stand still to see it all take place. But then this verse 9 seemed to so rest upon me last evening. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua was to be the Lord's messenger to the people, just as Moses had been before. You think how many times through the wilderness that they had come through, the Lord gave Moses a word from heaven to speak to the people. And here, Joshua was to be used. In the same way, we read, don't we, in that first chapter, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. This is what the Lord told Joshua. So will I be with thee. And as the Lord that was to use Moses to lead them through the wilderness, so the Lord was to use Joshua to lead them into Canaan. And as the Lord used Moses to be his messenger to them, so the Lord was to use Joshua to be his messenger. And what does Joshua say unto the children of Israel? Two words, first of all. Come hither. Come hither. And this is really a gospel word. You'll find so many times, once the Saviour came into this earth, he spoke those words, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come hither, come to me, you say. Why? Because he had all power to do for them all that they needed. Come hither. Sweet word, isn't it? If the Lord whisper that to one poor soul here tonight, come hither. Come hither with all your burdens, with all your sin, with all the things that weigh you down to the feet of the dear Redeemer. Come hither. What did Jesus say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It's a wonderful place to be a coming sinner to Christ. Come hither. You may look within your heart tonight and you may say, oh, but there's so much sin. There's so much unbelief, there's so much of the world in me. Can ever God dwell here? And he says to these black, vile sinners, come hither. He didn't turn them away. What does the hymn writer say? He will not send them empty back, excuse me, or fright them from the door. Oh, to be a coming sinner to the dear Redeemer. And you know, that same language was recorded in the last chapter, isn't it, of the book of the Revelations. The Lord almost, as it were, closes his holy word with those same blessed words, come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Spirit, you know, will whisper this, come hither. The Bride, the Church of God, will whisper to a coming sinner, venturing to follow their dear Redeemer. And the Lord will say it when his dear children come to the close of their journey. Come up higher. It's a beautiful word, this is, isn't it? Come hither. And then it declares to us how they've got to come. Just as they were. The hymn writer said, you can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. And you think of all these dear children of Israel. That's how they had to come, just as they were. They couldn't say, well, we'll go and do this and do that and make ourselves better for the promised land, could they? Oh, no. They came just as they were. Come hither. And why had they got to come hither? Well, because the Lord was going to speak to them. Come hither to the throne of grace and plead for the Lord to speak to you and speak to me tonight. You know, if you look in the Word of God, There's some sweet records of those that prayed that the Lord would speak. You can go back into the book of Samuel and read concerning that little lad in his early days when he knew not the Lord, but he uttered a beautiful word, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And there's those tonight that come up to the, come hither to the house of God, and on other occasions you come hither listening for the Lord to speak. The hymn writer said, and it's the Lord speaking, "Show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew." And that'll be your cry, you see. Come hither. And then come hither to the Word of God for him to speak to you through his Word. We think of David when he said in the Psalms, didn't he? "Be not silent unto me." Excuse me. "Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." He feared the silence of the Lord. And so here Joshua speaks to them. These words, "Come hither and hear." Oh, to have that ear to hear, as the Word of God tells us, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, if you read the second and third chapters of the book of the Revelations, to each of the churches the Lord spoke to the angels of those churches, which were the ministers of those churches. And then he concludes what he says to them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So there are really three things couched in these few words. Firstly, the desire to come to the feet of Jesus. Secondly, to hear what he will speak, the hearing ear given to listen to what the Saviour speaks. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, when you can go up and your ears are attentive. "Lord, do speak. Show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew." And then, of course, the third thing is what the Lord does speak. Now, of course, that is a vast subject, and I just want to hint at one or two things this evening. Firstly, there are times when he will speak very searchingly and very solemnly, and we tremble under the word. You think how searching it was when the Lord spoke to Hezekiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And sometimes, you know, when the Lord speaks, it searches the poor sinner. It makes them tremble. What do we read in the prophecy of Habakkuk? He said, "I heard thy speech and was afraid." And then, of course, he speaks in correction. correcting his dear children. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to come under the correcting hand of the Lord. Where would we be if we weren't corrected? Well, look at it naturally. One of the reasons why there's so much knife crime and trouble today is there being lack of correction from day one. And you see, people think they can do just as they like, not corrected. And that's a solemn thing, you know. But think about it spiritually. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And then, of course, there is the Lord speaking words of comfort. To his dear people. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And so many words the dear Saviour spoke while here upon this earth in us, words of sweet comfort. The disciples were never to forget what he said to them of comfort. And then there are those times where he will speak words of sweet encouragement. To encourage the sinner to venture on in the journey. Heavenly encouragement. It's like a dear mother or father with their child and they're sorrowful or cast down or not well. And that, because they love them, they encourage them. Even in things that the child may think are hard, they've got to walk through. But oh, to be encouraged spiritually by the Lord. How many times the Lord spoke to Moses when he was tempted to give up to leading the children of Israel, sweet words of encouragement. But then there are times where he will speak clear words of direction. And we find it here, what the Lord was going to do. The Lord was to speak to them, and they were to come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And the first thing that Joshua was to speak to them was this in the following verse. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All those that were in the land, he was to drive them all out. This is what the Lord was going to do. And then secondly, we find that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Oh, think of it. He was to go over before them. The Lord was to go over before them. And you know, there's some beautiful words of encouragement to his dear children of the Lord going before. We find in the New Testament, to begin there, you think of what the Saviour said, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. He goeth before them. You know, in the east, the shepherd always goes before the sheep. He leads them, guides them, directs them. He doesn't drive them. But then we think of that beautiful word in what the Lord spoke through Moses to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And it may be in something that concerns you tonight. You need the Lord to go before you in it. Lord, do go before me. And as he goes before his dear children, he knows exactly what they got to walk in. Oh, he does. Take it from the case of the shepherds in the east. The shepherd, you know, he goes before, he knows where the green pastures are, he knows where the pitfalls are, he knows where the dangers are, and as he's gone before, the sheep follow. But then we think of those words in Isaiah, and they're mentioned more than once, where he promised to go before them and make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain and the darkness light. He said, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. But there's another point in that 10th verse too, which I must just name before we leave it. And he said here, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. The living God. There's no doubt there was much sadness in the children of Israel because Moses had been taken from them. He had led them so faithfully through the wilderness, but he was now taken from the earth. But Joshua leads them above Moses. Moses was dead. The Lord was living and would live forever. And he directs them there. Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. No longer Moses. The living God is among you. And oh, what a beautiful word that is, isn't it? To a needy sinner. You know, often, and I know it was so with your late beloved pastor when he was taken from this earth, and the loss was great, tremendous. Our words could not really express it, but you see, the wonderful thing is the Lord still lives. Oh, he does. His people are taken from this time state into glory. But he lives. And he lives to intercede for them. And he lives to carry on their cause and plead their cause before God the Father. And here he speaks of it. The living God is among you. It's a personal word, you see. And may the Lord speak it to us each tonight and sweetly assure us that he is with us. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. And then how wonderfully the Lord brought them all, as we read in the lesson, obviously because of the time, safely through into the promised land. And all these that were fearful, as the 10 were when they spied the land out, they were their unbelief. But Caleb and Joshua had that faith to believe that they could overcome it all. The walled cities, the giants. And you see, it was the Lord being with them that was to fight the battle well and to provide all they needed for time and for eternity. And the Lord can do it today. Oh, he can. What did Joshua say about the land, how good it was and how fruitful? And he says to Moses and the children of Israel, let us go up at once and possess it. Oh, may that be our fervent desire concerning the heavenly Canaan, to be amongst those that possess the land and crown him Lord of all. Well, may the Lord forgive anything of these few scattered remarks. Amen.